When you see men fall, don't laugh. Learn. Learn. Because you're on your way up. And the things that tempt people to fall, you and I are not free from that temptation, nor from the weakness that will cause us to stumble and fall. When you laugh at somebody else's fall, white or black, rich or poor, your enemy or your friend, you are laughing and opening a way for your own demise when you do that. Because to laugh and not learn, to make mockery and not to understand, is to make the same mistake yourself. Did you hear me?
What's popping with y'all on this Easter Sunday, man? What's popping? What's popping? I hope y'all had a blessed, prosperous, successful, great day. Ate food, got fresh, watch a little bit of the NCAA tournament, but we got to talk about it, man. On this episode, The Culture Uncensored. Right when I released my podcast last week, it released at Monday. You know, most of my shows, they release, I do one a week, Sunday night or Monday afternoon, Monday morning or something like that. Sunday or Monday. And as soon as my podcast was releasing, all the news was breaking about Diddy. And one thing I can say about releasing a podcast once a week, I actually appreciate that because I seen a lot of people on YouTube. I seen a lot of people on Fox News, CNN, a lot of people on their platforms giving misinformation, using terms incorrectly, saying things that wasn't accurate. And it gave me the time to curate something for y'all and to be able to talk about terms and things in an accurate way. Now, this episode isn't going to be all about the Diddy situation. We got to talk about Joe Rogan trending for what he was talking about, the war going on over there, the genocide. That's what the words he was using. We got to talk about that. Also, Bootsy announced that BG may be going to jail. He may be going back to prison. Now, BG released a few albums, singles. It looks like he was ready to go on a run and have his turn, reunite with the Hot Boys. But what did he do illegal that may get him back in prison? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Senate acknowledging Nas. Like, this is 30 years of Illmatic. The Senate acknowledged that album as one of the greatest of all time. And the disrespect that Charleston White showed Gilly the Kid's dead son has to be acknowledged on this podcast because I feel like it's disrespectful. I feel like it's unnecessary. And if you believe in karma, this will have a karmic reaction. Now, Cube offered Caitlin Clark $5 million. We're going to talk about that also. But let's get into the show, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for subscribing to the channel, the new subscribers, the people that's showing love, that's sending cash apps, the people that's hitting me up. And what is that thing where you send money to through YouTube? Super shares. Thank y'all, man. Thank y'all. I highly appreciate that. Let's go.
Jackson Podcast.
Now, at the beginning when I said I seen a lot of people using terms wrong, right? People on their platforms were saying the feds hit Diddy house. It wasn't the feds, dog. If it was the feds, the feds would have been coming for an arrest. Homeland Security, they was coming to retrieve things. In case these allegations that these people are putting on him for these civil lawsuits, we want to see if it's true so we can create a criminal investigation. Then we will send the feds to arrest him. Homeland Security was not coming to arrest. They was coming to retrieve things. Now, people had interesting takes on why Homeland Security came. Are they coming to take things? Or are they coming to, why are they coming to take things? Is it people that's in higher positions that are on that footage and we need to protect them? Like Prince Harry. Who else could have been in there? Like Lucian Grange, the man that's over Universal Music Group. Those people, it's people bigger than Diddy. Us in the black community, we'll think that they coming to retrieve those things. Diddy is the biggest. That's what we'll think. It's Diddy, Jay-Z. Who else a billionaire in the black community? LeBron, Oprah. We think they the biggest. But it's people that put them in position for them to achieve the success and the things that they've achieved. Now, I know y'all tired of me talking about Candace Owens, but I'm going to start it off with her interesting tweet. I'm going to read her tweet. And we're going to get into the conversation about this tweet. So she tweeted, the feds are currently raiding Diddy's house. The feds, that's wrong terms again. She even used wrong terms in her tweet. They already knew what he was up to, but he is going to be the fall guy so that they can protect the people at the top of the ring. They are raiding his home to hide evidence, not to find it. That's how this works. Now, that's interesting. That second quote, they are raiding his home to hide evidence, not to find it. And he's the fall guy. So to hide evidence, to hide the people at the top. To hide the people at the top, that's different. That's a different perspective. That's a real deal perspective right there. Because who could be on them tapes? They said he has his whole house is being recorded. The bedroom, the bathroom. I wouldn't even want to go in that house if everything is being recorded when I'm in that house. But my perspective, all of these allegations cannot be true. He killed Tupac. He killed Biggie. He did this. He raped this person. Everybody in the rap industry, he done took their cheeks. He done inserted himself in his cheeks. Or they done inserted in his cheeks. I don't know what's going on. But YouTube and social media will make you think that everything that he's done has been suspect. Now, I'm not going to bash the man. I don't know none of this stuff. I don't even know if he's committed a crime, to be honest with you. We all making assumptions. I've seen Gene Deal. He been going on platforms for years talking about Diddy. I seen a lot of people just talking bad about him. I remember at one point in time, it was all about how he would put people in bad contracts. And folks was, imagine what like Craig McNamara was seeing. People was seeing so much that they was turning to religious people. Craig Mack turned to religion after being signed to Bad Boy. Mace turned into a pastor after being signed to Bad Boy. It's just that what was they seeing and why they not speaking on it? Now, I'm going to play a clip of an interesting take from somebody who I listen to often. I'm going to play a lot of clips on this episode. This is going to be a two-part episode. So if you're watching this first part, you're going to want to tune in to the second part. But Dr. Umar, he had an interesting take on the fall of black people just in general.
This is Cress Welsing, greatest African psychiatrist in modern history from this city, said, if you don't understand white supremacy, what it is and how it operates, nothing else will make sense to you in this society. The reason why those who are least interested in helping us fix our problem are the most celebrated is because they are the ones that are put out in front of our children to be celebrated. If you were not loyal to black people before you got rich, you definitely will not be loyal to black people after you get rich. But let's go further. During slavery, when a rebellious slave misbehaved, what would they do? They would put him out in front of all the slaves and they would whip him and tar and feather him and lynch him as a message to the others. Every generation, white America makes a sacrifice of a black celebrity. Look at your entire life. I've been on the planet 45 years. every generation of my life, every decade, white America finds a celebrity that they put out and destroy them as a reminder to LeBron and Oprah and Lee Daniels and Tyler Perry and everyone else. Jay-Z, Beyonce, don't forget, you might be a billionaire, but remember who helped you make that money. At the end of the day, y'all got the money, but we got the power. That's why they don't mind signing a $100 million contract. Because everybody in your circle is white. Your agent is white. Your lawyer is white. Your publicist is white. Your banker is white. The person selling you the car is white. So do you know what a black celebrity really is? He's a water sprinkler. He's a redistributor of white wealth. Because you can't use that money to help your own people. The reason they don't help us is because the white man has made it clear. Number one, white people will not support black people who are loyal to black folks. You cannot become a popular celebrity in America if you are unapologetic. It's impossible. You must do what? Compromise yourself in the presence of white folk. You must be an acceptable Negro. If you are not an acceptable Negro, they will destroy you. I like LeBron James, and I see he got some black manhood in him, but he's trying to navigate this in his final years because he's concerned about what his public memory and image will be after he retires.
Salute, 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 Dr. Umar. That's a wild take, though. Because, like, that's a wild take. You know, I've been having conversations about this thing. And I heard a lot of brothers say, like, they need to do something for us. We need reparations. It's opportunities out there, man, to be successful. It's opportunities to be rich. But he was talking about race and compromising yourself and how they give you this. I don't look at it in that aspect. If I did, I would leave the United States. But I can see how he said every decade, they tear a black billionaire down. We got to think about it. Even though Martin Luther King and Malcolm X wasn't rich, they was rich in spirit. They was rich vocally. They had power. Bill Cosby. He was trying to buy NBC. He went down. R. Kelly. Maybe one of the greatest black singers of all time. Look at him. But he was, man, he was doing the nasty. I should play this audio. I am going to play this audio, this R. Kelly song, but I'm going to keep talking. Michael Jackson. Man, he was buying catalogs left and right. The Beatles, Elvis. All type of people, Eminem catalog. He was buying catalogs left and right. And he's gone. Diddy. These things, I cannot believe in all of the things. I can't believe that he's guilty of all of the things. I think that he is guilty of some things, but I feel like this is a smear campaign to bring him down. That's just how I feel. That's how I feel. Now, I'm not going to bash no man because I don't know no man. And I see some people out there. I'm going to tell y'all something that I think is crazy from individuals. I think individuals that dislike people that they do not know is wild. You don't even know this man and you dislike him. You can dislike the action, but disliking the person is a whole totally different perspective to me. To me, now, somebody sent me this R. Kelly song. When I was younger and I heard this record, I didn't really hear the words the way I hear them now. I'm just going to play a few seconds of this. Oh, I got one of my partners calling in. Let me see if my partner won't touch base on the show. Let me see if my partner won't touch bases on the show. Reezy, whoa, what's good, fam?
Slate the Great, what's happening, fam?
Man, I'm just cooling, man. Talking about this Diddy situation, just talking about a lot of things, man. It's been a hell of a week. A lot been going on this week, man.
It's been a lot going on, man. I couldn't believe it. When I first heard about it, I couldn't believe it. It was shocking to me when I heard that, when you let me know that was going on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever day it was. What day was it? Monday, Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, I did text you and tell you. I said, damn, they in. Because we had just got through talking or something. I said, damn, they in Diddy house, fam.
Right.
Because what was I saying? Remember what I was telling you prior to that happening? I was telling you, I don't think he going to go to jail.
You did say that. What you think now?
I still don't think he going to go to jail.
Why you say that?
I think it's too many allegations. And I think that when they went, see, this is what I've been talking about so far on the podcast, fam.
Uh-huh.
Is that people are using terms wrong. Everybody is saying that was the feds. When it was Homeland Security, that's two totally different situations. If the feds would have came, they would have been coming for an arrest. Homeland Security came because they wanted more information. They wanted to see if these civil lawsuits had some validity to it.
Yeah, I can see that. And I heard somebody say on the Breakfast Club that the raid wasn't really for Diddy. It was to get the footage that Diddy had out of there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many elite, powerful people that could be on that footage. And what I heard is they wanted that footage out of there, out of his access, you know?
Yeah, Because they don't want him having control of the footage. If Prince Harry on her butt naked, if Barack Obama, whoever. If dude from Universal that owned Universal Music Group, Lucian Grange, in her butt naked having a ball, they don't want Diddy having that access.
Right. What's he got name for Interscope? I've been hearing his name pop up in it. Jimmy Iovine,
yeah. If he's in there naked with some boys, they don't want his imagery on their fam. Real talk. But man, it's just wild. It's a wild situation, fam.
Yeah. At first, I was sort of shocked to hear about Meek Mill being mentioned with this.
Yeah.
But then I thought back of pictures with him and Lil Baby hugged up with the white dudes. I think one of them from the Philadelphia 76ers, the owner.
Yeah, Mike Rubin, the dude who owned part of the 76ers, and he owned FanDuel. No, he don't own FanDuel. He own the company that sell the throwback clothes and all of that type of stuff. Fan something.
Okay. Yeah, but like when I think back to Meek hopping around like a rabbit or some shit at a tennis game that he lost, losing a bet, and just all that type of activity, I ain't surprised about it at all. Me neither.
Now, what percentage of the things that the internet is putting out do you think Diddy is guilty of? Give me a percentage, bro. I'm going to give you my percentage after you give me yours.
Shit, I think he's guilty of all of it, fam, and then some. They don't even know about it, to be honest.
Damn! Everything, fam. Shooting the girl.
Everything.
He guilty of shooting the girl in the face at the New York club. You remember that? What Shine did 10 years for?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, he had more money and power than Shine, so he put Shine in the, you know, in the position of the shooter, you know. So
yeah.
I'm not surprised by that at all, man. I'm not surprised by anything about that. And I think it's much more that they're not even talking about that he's doing, just to be honest, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like he guilty of 60% of what the internet putting out, fam. I'm just being honest with you. It's so much to me. I think it's overwhelming. Like I wanted to talk about this halfway through the podcast, but I'm gonna talk to you about it now. Now these terms coming out: sex trafficking, sex worker, and all of that old type of stuff. You know, they said that Diddy had 50 wives as a sex worker. And multiple other women. And, yeah. And those women are defending themselves, saying that they're not sex workers no more. Now, what do you think about that? Like, is a woman that wants a man only for money and he paying them for money, is that a sex worker or is she just getting a bag?
Well, I mean, it could go both ways. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some situations where women are with the man for the money and she don't have to perform sex that often. Mm-hmm. But knowing Diddy, I'm sure that's not how he's got it set up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he might word it to him in a way to make it sound like they're not a sex worker. But, I mean.
But legally, that's what they're going to call it in legal terms, though.
Yeah, in legal terms, they're going to call it that. But in all actuality, I mean, that's what they are. You feel me? So.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, he might word it to him in a way that you know, makes their title is not sex worker, but basically that's what they're doing and they're getting paid for it. So, mm-hmm.
Miami took offense to DJ Academics on his platform because he called her a sex worker. But these women, they rap about having sex and for money. And this nigga got to have a bag. He flew me out and all of this type of stuff. But when the feds put out the correct legal term, they become offended by it because that's exactly what you are. You're a sex worker. You're working for sex. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, it is what it is, man. They ain't offended when they making the music, getting them strings, getting them checks for it. You feel me?
Or getting paid from the nigga at the end of the day.
Or getting paid from the nigga. You know what I mean? Nobody twist their wrist and made them be there. Huh?
I'm going to play some audio or something, and I hope you can hear it. I want your perspective on it. You remember the guy that used to be on BET named Toray?
Not right now. The news guy.
Yeah. You didn't hear what he had to say about the Diddy situation, did you?
I did. Something about his nephew or cousin or something.
Let me play the clip for the people who didn't see it, fam. Tell me if you can hear this.
Okay. Is something in the rise, the long-term rise of Puff, in that he seemed to create his own reality?
It's giving R. Kelly to write.
I was personally disturbed many years ago. I know this man well enough to call him and say, hey, I need a favor. Call him and say, I have a family member who I want you to hire them as an intern. I have never talked about this publicly. And he said, yes. And they were flying around. And then the internship stopped abruptly, like 3 or 4 months into it.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my family member, like, well, what happened? And they wouldn't say.
Yeah.
And years later, they finally came out, and this is a male.
Yeah.
And said that Puff had said, come home, stay the night with me, or the internship is over. And they said, absolutely not. He said, absolutely not. And the internship ended. But from there, I was like, oh, like, this is how it goes. Okay.
Yeah. You hear that, Walt?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Man, my perspective is like, it's not a crime to have sex with other men. But why is he you can't work for me if you ain't giving me none of them cheeks or you ain't taking my cheeks. Like, why he won't just come out and say that he's bisexual?
I mean, I would assume, because I'm not in his position. All I can do is assume is that he feels like it would mess up his image or, you know, the image that he's created for himself as Diddy, Brother Love, or Puff, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I guess he feels like they could possibly ruin his image, I guess. So.
Yeah, that's what I think too, though, because like, man, like before I faced legal ramifications for something, fam, I would just come out. Before I lose billions, my kids gotta suffer, I would just come out. Now, you told me I had to speak on something, fam, but inform me on that though, like, because when all of this stuff first started happening and his plane took off, I thought he was gonna go to a country to where he couldn't be extradited back. But you informed me on some stuff about, what's his name? Russell.
I didn't get to read much of it, but, wherever Russell Simmons is overseas, wherever he is,
Bali.
Okay. Well, he was presented with a lawsuit there. Mm-hmm. And I was just so surprised to hear that because I thought by him being there, he wouldn't have to, you know, deal with anything like that from America, you know. So that was sort of surprising to me, but, you know.
You know, like,
yes, CK.
Go ahead, fam, my fault. I cut you off, my fault.
Nah, I was just going to say, you know, I guess can't run from everything, but go ahead.
You know, countries have, some countries you can't extradite people back to the United States, though, but since the internet has came out, to me, the world is small, fam.
It is.
Like, it seems like the world's smaller, and they, and America, and if the feds and the CIA is as powerful as they shown last week when they came with them tanks and all of that, man, they could go pick him up in Bali if they wanted to. But is he worth all of that, though? Is he worth them starting a war with, you know what I'm saying, another country coming in there with their tanks and their ships and stuff just to get Uncle Russ? Russell Simmons.
I wouldn't think so.
Nah, he ain't worth all of that, so they're going to leave him alone. I feel like they're going to leave him alone.
Yeah, I would think so, you know, and I'm not saying that these things didn't happen, but, like, you know, why does it take so long for these people to press these charges, whether it's legally or civil? Like, why does it take so long for them to come forward and press those charges?
Okay, now we get into it. You get into it. Keep going, fam. Keep going. You got me excited saying that.
Yeah, so that's my thing. Like, why does it take so long? And then it's like a chain reaction. Okay, well, she's saying it. Well, shit, I'm going to say he did this to me, too. You feel me? So that makes it harder to believe, you know what I mean, as far as the so-called victim point of view. But I'm not saying it didn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But if it did happen, I mean, why does it, like, what do you have to tell yourself before you finally, that makes you finally come forward? Why you couldn't have came forward in 93 or 2000, whatever year this supposedly happened?
Yeah, talk to him. We'll talk. Cassie, she started all of this. A lot of people saying,
well, Puff with Diddy. With Diddy, not with Russell Simmons. Like, Simmons had these allegations before Diddy.
Now, you was talking about the Russ, but I'm talking about both of them, like, damn, Russell Simmons situation, that was 20, 30 years ago. Bill Cosby situation, that was 20, 30 years ago. Even R. Kelly situation was 10, 15, 20 years before he got convicted for it. Cassie, she was in a relationship with the man for 10 years before she put a lawsuit out on him. So that means you was accepting of these activities before you got mad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, it's the price people will pay for fame, you know. But my thing is, like, with Bill Cosby, some of this stuff they say happened in the 70s, you know. So that makes me wonder, did Bill Cosby do something to piss off some powerful people? Ooh. Like, you see what I'm saying? Because I had heard Bill Cosby was wanting to buy NBC at one time.
That's a fact.
And people in position, the powers that be, they didn't want to see that. They didn't want to see Bill Cosby or no black man on the NBC.
That's a fact.
So that makes me wonder, like, are they, the people that are pursuing him for the court and to, you know, lock him up or whatever, is this really about the women or is it something else they've done? You know what I mean? But they have this information on them to blackmail them with, if need be. Sometimes it makes me wonder, they just pull out this information to put these niggas back in their place. You feel me?
Think about something too, though, fam, since we talking about Cosby trying to buy NBC and that happened. Like, even with the Michael Jackson situation before he died, he bought the Beatles catalog, he bought Elvis catalog, and he bought Eminem whole catalog before he died. And after Michael Jackson died, the people who owned the stuff prior to Michael Jackson owning it again. Now let's get to Diddy.
Sony, yeah. Sony bought back Michael Jackson's catalog, didn't
he? Yeah, after he bought it. So they bought all the catalogs, the Beatles and Eminem and everybody's stuff. So let's get back to it. And we know who those people are. I'm going to get to them at the end of the podcast too, even though this is going to be a two-part show. Let's get to Diddy. Before these allegations came out, what battle was he fighting, fam? Do you remember it? With one of his companies, with two of his companies.
Well, I heard something about the liquor, about Ciroc.
And De Leon.
C see. I'm not up on that. I really don't know what happened with this situation.
It's the same company, Ciroc. They do the same guy on the same company, Ciroc and Deli on the tequila. That was just his tequila brand that he branched out from Ciroc.
And see, I really don't know all the details of that. It's just what I've heard that, you know, he did something to rub them folks the wrong way, and that could possibly be why all this is coming up.
That's what I think. That's my perspective of it. They wanted to get him out of his contract with them, and they wanted to own the stuff they sell because he started complaining and acting like, I got the clip of Uncle Luke too. I'm gonna talk about that. I'm gonna play that clip after we get off of this conversation too. But he was complaining about they're not making enough agave plants for his tequila brand because he's selling it. He's selling it. He said it's selling. We just can't put it in stores everywhere we need to. He said people gonna buy the liquor from me, but he started complaining because 1800 and all that other stuff was their main priority, but he wanted to become their main priority, and he started complaining, and all this stuff started happening.
Yeah, so I mean, all these accusations on Diddy, I believe, okay, you feel me?
Yeah.
Now the reason why they came about when they did, I don't know if that had something to do with, you know, his situation with them folks, or just Cassie just had enough and came out. I don't know, but I believe Diddy did all that shit, fam.
Woo! And it's more. You believe 100% and more that we don't even know about. Goodness gracious.
Much more.
Damn, so
you know,
the Justin Bieber, the Usher, the Meek Mill.
Right.
Yeah, leave it. The Biggie, the Tupac.
And then, you know, I seen an interview with Columbus Short saying that he got a call. He was in the bed with his wife and gets a call from Diddy at like 2 in the morning. Diddy was in L.A. talking about this Sean. I'm at the Beverly Hotel or something. And he said, what you doing? He was like, nothing. I'm asleep. He's like, who else out there? He said, oh, nobody. Just me. You feel me? So Diddy been doing that shit. I've been heard shit like that about Diddy.
Wait, me too. I have too, fam. I ain't gonna count.
Yeah. So Diddy has did. I wouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt on any of this shit. Yeah. And I feel like there's a lot more that we don't know about that might surface soon too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dang, that's what's up, man. I know you're a busy man, fam. I appreciate your perspective on the pod. I appreciate you supporting the pod, fam. Hey,
for sure, man,
enjoy the rest of your Easter, fam, and I'm going to get up with you soon, fam.
That's what's up, fam. Holler at me right on when you get done.
I will ASAP.
That's what's up. All right, fam.
Yeah, let's get it. Hey, man, T-Reezy, he came in, he killed that, man. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Let me give you something. It was a clip. It's a clip that I'm supposed to play. Hold on. Let me find it, y'all. I apologize. Let me turn that down before they take my monetization. Uncle Lou, talking about the liquor brands and everything. He said, don't bite the hand that feeds you, dog.
When you go and you get these billions and you see them put you up on a pedestal, that's because they put you up on a pedestal. They made you the guy. They placed you on every network. They sold you to all y'all on here. They gave you 5 million followers. They put all this, they dress you up like a fucking hoe on the street. They gave you the Bugattis. They gave you the mansions on 2 different coasts. They put you up on a pedestal because they need you. It's like some pimp shit. When you got your main girl, you dress her up and she look like this and look like that and do this and you march her into the big room. I'm telling you. So when they put you on that motherfucking pedestal, and then you start thinking it's about you and you want to take over their shit, them people look back like this. Hold on. Who the fuck do you think he is? Oh, we'll show you better than we can tell you. Then they'll try to reason with you and they'll talk to your manager, because your manager look like them. And they'll be like, hey, man, tell your man to chill out. You know, and then the manager come in and he trying to keep his job. Hey, guy, calm down. And then you go walk around like it's all about you. You got all the cars and the mansions and the jets and all the yachts and all this and all the people running around. You talking about, yeah. And now you want to fight. Now you want to bite the hand that feeds you.
You know what's crazy about all that? To me. In all aspect of business, the person who puts you in position to be financially successful, I always feel like you owe them something, or you have to be obedient to them or an honorable person to them to continue on to succeed in whatever y'all have established together. Me doing this podcast, me doing music, everything that I do creatively, I appreciate the people who came along on the way. I appreciate the people who assisted me in becoming successful and getting to where I want to go to. We about to elevate this thing too, y'all. Like, real talk. It's about to be super elevated. And let me get back to what I was saying. I appreciate the people along the way, but I don't want to go in business with nobody. Family members, friends, people I just met, I want the money to go to me. I don't want to deal with feelings. I don't want to deal with control, egos. I don't want to deal with people that may have anxiety towards certain things. I want to get the money on my own, dog. I could have a crew of people in here. I could have somebody on this podcast every week. But I just don't like, I'm not that type of person at the end of the day. And listening to Uncle Luke, don't bite the hand that feeds you. I remember those days that I had to deal with that. In the streets. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. So when I think of, I remember telling my nephew, he wanted to become a successful rapper coming from a small city in Tennessee. And I used to always tell him, man, are you built for that? Like that criminal lifestyle, that uncensored. This is the culture uncensored, man. That's what this episode title. Are you built for that? Because this game, this entertainment thing, if you're not doing it on your own, it's a dirty game. Hollywood is a dirty game. When I went to Hollywood, y'all see the video on this YouTube channel. When I was in Hollywood on the Nipsey Hussle star, I went the day after he got his star. That's the filthiest place I ever been in my life, Hollywood. And people have goals. They want to accomplish that. They want to be in movies. That's their dream. And that's a place I went to. I couldn't wait to leave. Because that's not what I dream of. I dream of white sand and blue waters. Free. Don't have to deal with nobody else. No responsibility. Straight peace. Doing whatever I choose, living my life. That's what I dream of, man. And listening to this Diddy situation, people will put you up on a pedestal. You sign a rap deal. You have to be obedient to the person who you're under contract with. That's not who I am, man. Now let's further the discussion. I know y'all don't want me to keep talking about this Diddy stuff, but I got to. And I'm going to switch the topic up to something. We usually do a music break right now. If you're new to the channel, I apologize, but we usually do a music break right now for some of my music that I promote on the channel. We're going to do one too, though, but I want to play Lil Boosie talking about this Diddy situation. We're going to play a little bit of the celebrities reacting to the Diddy situation. Then, you know what I mean? We're going to continue on.
Black people happy for a nigga downfall. I don't hear none of them niggas who was at Diddy's shit toasting with that champagne every year, having speeches with, man. Nobody speak up for this man or nothing.
Soon as they say something,
when you're on top of the world, it's a celebration.
Bruh.
When you're on the bottom, it's a denialation.
Bruh. Same motherfucker you see going up, you're going to see coming down.
All the motherfuckers all with them suits on, with they cuffs up, ain't nobody said nothing.
They ain't fool. Man, as soon as they say something, they in the crosshair, fool.
Boy, this world, boy.
So you was around Diddy too.
That's why you ain't gonna see too many niggas around me. Who was around me before I went to jail? Mm-hmm. You don't see too many niggas around me. Cause them niggas did me like Diddy people. Like,
oh man. You know, those people are not speaking up. You can see people that was in pictures with him, that was at his parties, not speaking up and standing up for him. The only person you can see speaking up for him was Stevie J. Stevie J spoke up for him. He took it on the chin, pause. No Diddy. He took it on the chin, pause. But it was another individual who stuck up for him and voiced his opinion on the situation. And he said it was a smear campaign.
I'm just surprised and shocked at how many people already before him having charges have really just like, he guilty to them. Ain't nothing I can tell y'all. Y'all don't hear like, he tripping, nigga. He guilty. He did that shit. You don't know that, man. We don't know that. We don't know what he did. For real, we got, but it's, until you proven guilty in court, we can't, you know what I'm saying? So everybody, we just all throwing our opinions out there, man. We just throwing our opinions out there. I ain't on nobody's side though to say that. I ain't on nobody's side saying nobody innocent or guilty. I'm just saying how I move with everybody. I'm not going to say nobody guilty off of what's being said and suing people. I'm going to have to see some criminal charges as shit go by. All I'm doing is sitting back watching, man. I'm just waiting to see what happened, man. You know what I'm saying? I hate to see anybody go like this. I hate to see this happen to anybody. And like I say, I hope that this shit is fake. I hope that all this shit is bullshit and a smear campaign and that none of this shit is true. I don't want to see a black man who came so far almost to $1 billion fall down. That's our inspiration for my. It ain't too many of us. I don't want to see. They took Kanye down. We forgot about Kanye. Good thing he able to do his own shit, man. That's how I look at it, man. We losing another billionaire over allegations at this point.
You know, I could be wrong for what I'm about to say to a lot of people, but I don't care. Now, just because you're black doesn't mean I'm going to defend your wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Your race don't matter. We shouldn't stand by each other just because we the same complexion. That's foolishness. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm not going to stand with you. Like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, like people that's black always say that somebody owe us something. Somebody should do something for us. Man, we got to start standing for what's right before we can achieve the things that we want to achieve, because it takes unification. Now, somebody say, Trell, why are you talking about unifying when you just said you ain't going to stand with this man because he's wrong? You wrong, dog. At the end of the day, you wrong. Wrong is wrong. You can be my family member. You wrong, you wrong. I'm not going to ride with you guys. I'm not one of them type of people that if he wrong, he right to me. If he right, he right. I'm not riding with you, dog, because I got to look out for my best interest first. Real talk. So I don't understand what Slim Thug saying when he talking about black men. But I do agree with Slim Thug when he does say that I got to see some criminal charges I got to see some criminal charges, dog. Like, we ridiculing a man without criminal charges, with all allegations of people that want civil lawsuits. If you was really standing on business, like what the young folks say, you got to be standing on business. If you really standing on business, then the criminal charge, the civil charges will be criminal. You wouldn't be fighting for money. You would be fighting for this man to go to prison. I'm going to play one of the singles off of my album, It Was All a Dream, and we're going to come back and further the discussion. Let's get it.
If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing. I had to change my mental, upgrade my credentials. How a nigga came up, it wasn't accidental. Now monumental, more like legendary. A player never worry, bump and pop, Hail Mary. Trapped off a Blackberry, ain't contrary to your belief. I made it out them streets, don't acknowledge beef. Kept the play discreet, we too unique. On the winning streak, spent a couple racks at the boutique. I wouldn't change nothing, I'm always me. Never took a plea, nigga, you a flea. I'm your OG's OG. He called me for inspiration. Need a consultation, just make the payment for the conversation. If it's elevation or innovation, my expectation ain't limitation. You need a demonstration. My track record and reputation should be admiration. That's confirmation. I'm decoration for the trenches, off the benches. Jump the fences, no penny pinching. We off the hinges. Hit the shot, my team winning. The series clinching. You niggas finished. Never timid, I've been a menace. No old dog, and every day is printed. Haters living, cause my life changed. Should be happy, but you a real lame. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. If I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change nothing. I had to get me something. I came up from nothing.
I came up from nothing. Hey, man. That song hit home. The more and more I play it, man, like, I wouldn't change nothing, man. How many people feel like that? Like, you appreciate your life. You appreciate the trials and tribulations and the things you went through, and you wouldn't change nothing for nobody. Like, you happy where you at, man. Even if you down at the moment, man, you just happy where you at. That's how I feel. I appreciate where I'm going, where I came from. Everything might not be sweet right now, but I appreciate it, dog. Real talk now. I want to talk about something, like, before I further the discussion. Diddy grew up in Harlem. Harlem is a hustler town where all the hustlers was at. All the fly, that's the land of the fly for black people. The flyest brothers in the world is from Harlem. Some of the most successful hustlers in the world is from Harlem. Alpo from Harlem, Mitch from Harlem, Cameron from Harlem, the Dipset, all them boys, Mace, Diddy from Harlem. Diddy's father, Melvin Combs, he's from Harlem. Frank Lucas. If y'all don't know who Frank Lucas is, that's the guy that Denzel played in the movie. Denzel Washington played in the movie American Gangster. So Frank Lucas talks about Diddy's father in a clip. Now, last week on the last episode, if y'all caught that episode, I was talking about how Charleston White said that Vlad TV has a library full of content from black people about nothing positive. Now, when I was researching and listening to all of this Diddy stuff, this Frank Lucas clip popped up that was 12 years old. And it was from Vlad. And he had to say this about meeting Diddy and knowing Diddy's father.
Colin was a good friend. We were good friends. We did a lot of business together. Of course, it was not a legal business, but we did a lot of business together. And I was sorry to see what happened to him. That shocked the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And the guy who did it, I'm glad he got what he got. Okay, so.
And I know Melvin used to come to your club, the Turntable, a lot.
Yes, he did. He come there all the time. Melvin was like a lady man. Yeah, he come there all the time. He come to my club all the time. Yes, he did.
Can you say the name of your club?
The Lord Price Turntable, 52nd and Broadway. I met Sean Connery. I met him when he was a little boy. He used to come over to my house. His daddy used to bring him over to my house. He used to come see me on various businesses, and he used to bring him over to my house from time to time. But I met Sean about a year ago. It's been a little better than a year ago. He heard I know the father. He wanted me to tell him about the father. So I come over there and I told him something about the father. But I didn't give him the whole story because he impressed me. He just asked me casual, and I told him casual. But if he impressed me, I would have told him the whole story.
About his dad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all I know. But I didn't do that because it impressed me. You know, if he act like he really wanted to know, he act like it was just another thing. So I had to go.
Right. And you knew him as Sean Combs, not as Puffy or P. Diddy, right?
No, I know my Melvin's son. I didn't know his name. I know Melvin's son. I didn't know his name.
The Trevor Jackson Podcast.
You know, that's interesting. Like, I'm not going to sympathize with Diddy or sympathize with Frank Lucas or Melvin Combs and none of them individuals, because I just want to make something clear to the people who listen to this podcast. Even though Diddy dance, Diddy may be allegedly a homosexual man, he was raised by a gangster, the realest gangster on the East Coast ever of all time. He was raised by the realest gangster. So you can't assume that he wouldn't have some of those traits of Frank Lucas and his father. His father was one of the biggest hustlers of all time. His mama was who she was. Allegedly, because I don't know about these people, but I know one thing I do know is that they ain't for play. Like, if you align yourself with people like that, then you should expect whatever is to come from that. Now, we're going to break it down and we're going to get into some more conversations, though. But we're going to break this episode up into two parts. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. Let's get it. Click the link below, or it may be above, because I'm going to release this one first. So go above and check out the content, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. Go check out part two, though, because we got more stuff to talk about. And it ain't all about the Diddy stuff, man. We're going to talk about some stuff. Let's go.
Friend is one who will not even consider giving his life for you. That's a friend. Everybody you name are with me for money and for what they can get. I don't have no friends. I wrote a poem that says, friendship is a priceless gift that cannot be bought nor sold, but its value is far greater than a mountain made of gold. For gold is cold and lifeless. It can neither see nor hear. And in time of trouble, it is powerless to cheer. Gold, it has no ears to listen, no heart to understand. It cannot not bring you comfort or reach out a helping hand. So when you ask God for a gift, be thankful if he sends not diamonds, pearls, or riches, but the love of real true friends.